From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
I love the concept when they asked me to come on board. I think it's so important. This is a perfect opportunity for, for people to really hear and understand Black heritage, you know, the Black story. I think it's something that we all need to, we all need to kind of take responsibility for, in a way. It's not just my network, it's not just the founders' network, it's not just the board's network. I think this should be everyone's network, especially everyone in America. I mean, I don't have to tell you, you know what's going on now today. A lot of these things that are kind of brewing up, and a lot of fear that has been really instilled in people's minds and hearts are because of the negative stereotypes that they've grown up with. I mean, look at Birth of a Nation. Go back to those and understand the negative stereotypes of the Sambo, the Jezebel, the Zip Coon, the Buck. And these are stereotypes that were derived and created to really justify slavery.
Hezekiah Lewis, president and CEO of the Black Heritage Network. Founded in 2010, BHN.TV brings its viewers quality, relevant programming that reflects the Black American experience. The founders believe that it was time to step up and create one TV channel whose single mission is to be the first and only full-time television destination for the real stories of Black life in America. They believe Black heritage is American heritage. BHN is a channel for all Americans and the world. BHN contributes 5% of all monthly and annual subscription revenue to United Negro College Fund. Subscribing to BHN helps support Black Heritage HBCUs, as well as the unique home for Black Heritage on television. BHN is the first and only true-to-life nonfiction network devoted exclusively to Black achievement in American life. They also feature classic films and powerful documentaries. I'm Johnny O'Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, the Black Heritage Network with Hezekiah Lewis, President and CEO in Black America.
Let people understand what BHN is. I want it to be a household name. And that's really going to come down to our marketing, our social networking campaign that we have, brewing up here now. I hope your viewers go out and your listeners go out and really spread the word about and understand the passion behind my voice. We really, really are going to give it 110% to make sure that we give you the best and most original and most unique content that's out there, and really, really, really help. And we hope that it really helps people understand what the Black Heritage Network is all about, and what the Black culture is all about. So, I always say, never forget where you came from, but be open to where you're going. And that's what I'm going to strive to do. We're not forgetting. I'm not trying to, change the game and change everything that the founders have put together. But I also want to be open to, how high and how far we can take this network.
Hezekiah Lewis is an associate professor of communications at Villanova University and has been recently appointed president and CEO of the Black Heritage Network. Along with its leadership, BHN expects to develop a formal relationship with the university and its School of Communications, including an operating home for BHN.TV, an internship program, and producing television programs at Villanova's brand new production facility. Born and raised in California, Lewis is a graduate of UCLA's prestigious film school with an MFA in directing. Before entering UCLA's film school, Lewis attended Villanova University on a football scholarship. He was a three-year starter, co-captain, receiving all-conference and all-academic honors from 1995 to 2000. He then received a presidential fellowship to attend Villanova's graduate school and completed a master's degree in theater in 2002. BHN.TV's mission is to fill a substantial gap in high-quality nonfiction programming targeted to African Americans and those with an affinity for Black culture, art, and history. BHN.TV is the Discovery Channel meets the History Channel through a Black lens.
San Bernardino was a good learning and teaching ground for me. Got a scholarship to Villanova University from football and was able to kind of, truck over the other side of the country, and actually got a chance to see a whole new culture, really open my eyes to a lot of things, and being in higher education and learning from, great mentors and being able to come back to, you know, home every now and then and get my sister an opportunity to go to Villanova. My daughter now is a sophomore here at Villanova University. So it's just been an amazing ride so far, but we'll never change anything for the world.
So you all have that legacy thing working at Villanova.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Definitely have that legacy going. We bleed blue. Love, you know, just love the community here. And I think it's a great place for people to kind of grow and find their voice.
I understand. What initial interest in film?
I started out as an actor, and growing up all my life, I've always been involved with art, you know, whether it become, you know, being on stage or whether it be making little home videos here and there. But it was really something for me that was so important, you know, in my life to really give me a chance to express my voice and express my emotions in a creative way. Never thought that I would, you know, look at it as a career. So when I started out as, you know, working on different film sets and looking at, you know, different styles and the difference between theater and film, it just, for me, it never kind of caught fire until I actually was able to, you know, get on stage at Villanova University. The problem was I just didn't have the resources to actually make my own films growing up. You know, being on stage and being an athlete was not looked at, you know, properly, you know, by some people. But, you know, I thought I was too cool for school in high school and didn't really get involved on stage, but trying to stay behind the scenes. But my sophomore year, I broke out of that shell and really caught that fire back with Father Peter, who's the president of Villanova University, was also the director and an amazing director in his own right, and really helped me find that passion for the art again. So I just kind of broke through the stereotypes and just said, you know what, I'm going for it full force, and, you know, really got involved with stage again, fell in love with the stage. But then, you know, started really seeing the lack of my story, you know, the lack of people who look like me and sound like me. And I just didn't feel connected to, you know, the particular art, but I knew I was connected to the art. But I wanted, and that really kind of forced me and really fueled me to go out and find ways to get our story out there. And, you know, that's why I got involved with, you know, starting to direct theater and you know, producing theater and you know, trying to get our stories out there in a way. And, you know, I saw film, you know, and I said, I really want to see a way that I can get involved into a bigger audience, because theater has a very abstract, you know, smaller, you know, audience that I wanted to kind of reach the masses. So I decided to, you know, enroll to UCLA Film School and fell in love with it ever since.
I was reading that it was something that Maya Angelou said that led you to write and direct Warrior Queen.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Warrior Queen was my thesis project at UCLA Film School. Mm-hmm. I went to a presentation at the DGA where Maya Angelou, somebody asked her the question, what does she think about the you know, really the plight of black films? And she said there weren't enough stories about our African kings and queens. And that really struck a chord with me, because I went home, did my research, and all I could find was, you know, Shaka Zulu or the Zulu. It was never anything that was so, it didn't really speak to us. It's always like we saw the voice of the Africans as a collective, not as an individual. Mm-hmm. And they were all kind of driven by, you know, characters of other cultures and other races, but we never really had a story out there that showed the beauty of our African kings and queens. So as I did my research, Nanaya Asantewaa's name came up a lot. She was like the Black Joan of Arc, you know, one of the first, you know, women to lead an army of men into battle against the British in the 1900s. So it just, to me, that was just such a powerful story. But it wasn't just about telling a documentary or documenting a story. I wanted to tell how universal that story was. And I went out and started, you know, researching a little bit more, decided to buy a ticket to get out to Ghana, West Africa, to go visit her family, see her land, and actually, you know, and say, you know, they gave me the right and the opportunity to tell this story. When I came back to the States, I had to put my money where my mouth was, and it really inspired me to kind of, you know, push harder to get funding and all these other elements to really tell this unique story. And to me, you know, the theme of that film is about protecting your culture and your identity. And sometimes the nurturer, meaning the woman, has to be that protector. So it was a women-driven story for me. It reminded me of my mother. I made it because I wanted my daughter to see how powerful she is. And I wanted them to understand, like, you know, black people to understand that we have a rich history that has been somewhat hidden, and really not somewhat hidden, really hidden from us. And I think it's important that we, you know, we change the negative stereotypes that are out there about us and understand how powerful this medium is. So after hearing Maya Angelou say those words and listening and researching this beautiful story of Yaa Santiwa, you know, I went out and shot my thesis film. And we played in over 70 film festivals all around the world and won numerous awards. And it just spoke to the masses of people because it's not just an African or a black story. I think everybody can relate to it because we all have cultures. We all have identities that we would love to protect and nurture and pass on.
I know that's right. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. And we're speaking with Hezekiah Lewis, President and CEO of the Black Heritage Network. Before we start talking about the network, Mr. Lewis, is one of the things I want to try to bring up. I find it fascinating for screenwriters. You have to write the dialogue, but also you have to set the framework for what is actually going to take place in the picture.
Yes.
How you go about developing those skills? You know, you talk about, you know, he walks in the doors, slammed it, and, you know, there's music in the background. So how do you develop those talents?
I think it's important to understand it's a visual medium. And first and foremost, a lot of times when people get involved with starting to write, they think it's all about the dialogue.
Right.
Dialogue's not as important. You know, we don't walk around speaking out our inner conflicts. We don't walk around speaking out our emotions. But, you know, I can't see the visuals of your piece, mm-hmm. I don't feel it. It's not visceral. So you need to make sure that you have some sense of visual text that really puts the audience into that world. Mm-hmm. Now, it's always hard as a writer because you also have to understand you're not the director. So you cannot, you know, write a scene that, you know, that a director just has no creative input as well. So you mm-hmm. have to kind of wear a certain hat. So me as a writer-director, I have a writer's hat, then I put on my director's hat. You know, and I have to make sure that I understand that this platform or this script is just a blueprint for what is possible in the collaboration with other people that are coming on board. So first, you have to have a theme. You have to have a theme, and that theme has to be universal. You know, secondly, every scene within your piece has to follow that overarching theme. You have to have an objective for your characters. What do they want? And not only do you have to have an objective, but the why of that objective is so important as well. Why are they trying? Why are they fighting for this particular goal? What are their super objectives? You know, how do they relate to other characters within the scene? So it's a formula. It is a formula. You have to understand the formula, break down that formula, but you don't always have to follow that at the same time. But you have to understand the rules before you can break those rules, because it really is a foundation of creativity and stories in all of us. So how do you kind of create that story to maintain a message that really relates to your overarching theme? At the end of the day, it has to be universal. You know, people have to be able to connect to it. But, you know, really tell a story that relates to you, that really resonates with you at first. And, you know, you can venture out as you continue on that path, but I think the easiest, you know, the easiest part of it is really finding something that you're passionate about, because if you care about it, we care about it. If you understand it, we'll understand it. You're not going to reach everybody. You're not going to please everybody, but I always say if there's one person in the audience that I care about and if there's one person that really represents and understands what I'm trying to portray in my films or whatever, I think it's important. You know, that's important enough for me to continue this work, and understanding that everybody that's out there, you know, we're not always going to agree, but we have to find a way to have these conversations. And I try to use film to evoke that positive social change in our society.
Yeah, I know that's right. That brings us to the Black Heritage Network. Understand that you were co-founder and artistic director of the Villanova television station.
Well, yeah, way back in the days. Yeah, they have a station up here called VTV.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was one of the founders of VTV when I was a student here. I was very active as a student at Villanova, took 21 credits a semester, played football here, was part of the theater program, president of BCS, president and founder of Cats Community Action Through Sports. So involved with production and art, and I didn't see that release or that kind of distribution platform that we should have had at Villanova when high schools down the street in Radnor and Conestoga had, you know, way better facilities and way better things than we would ever have had at the time I was here. And I decided to, you know, to go out and venture and start VTV.
Tell us about the Black Heritage Network.
I love it. I love the concept when they asked me to come on board. I think it's so important. This is a perfect opportunity for for people to really hear and understand Black heritage, the Black story. I think it's something that we all need to, we all need to kind of take responsibility for in a way. It's not just my network. It's not just, the founder's network. It's not just the board's network. I think this should be everyone's network, especially everyone in America. I mean, I don't have to tell you, you know what's going on now today.
Right.
A lot of these things that are kind of brewing up and a lot of fear that has been really instilled in people's minds and hearts are because of the negative stereotypes that they've grown up with. I mean, look at Birth of a Nation. Go back to those and understand the negative stereotypes of the Sambo, the Jezebel, the Zip Coon, the Buck. And these are stereotypes that were derived and created to really justify slavery. So we didn't put those images out there, but we are always stereotyped into being in those particular worlds and that particular, mind frame to a lot of folks. So I think the Black Heritage Network, the main mission is to really distill and then destroy a lot of those negative stereotypes, and we have to consume that as well. If we're not consuming the positive stereotypes, the positive stories and that are out there, then they're not going to be marketable. And at the end of the day, investors and producers, they don't want to market things that, they have to feed their kids in a way. So when I look at the reason that we don't have these positive stories, it's because when they do come out, sometimes we're not all out in masses really consuming those stories. So I think Black Heritage and BHN.TV is going to be a perfect opportunity for us to put up original content, existing positive content, and educational content that's really going to change the perspective that people have of the Black culture.
How is your concept different from Bounce TV, BET, and TV1?
I think what Bounce and BET and a lot of those are pretty much going to be showing a lot. They have networks, so they're actually on television. We're not on network or television yet.
Okay.
Mission-wise, we're trying to give more opportunities to up-and-coming filmmakers as well with a short film series, for example. So if there's filmmakers out there that go through the festival circuit, a lot of times, a lot of us, we don't make it to Sundance, or we can't go to the Pan-African Film Festival. We can't see a lot of these elements. So we're giving opportunities to younger filmmakers to actually get their films onto the network where they can, bring traffic to those areas as well and give them another distribution platform. More educational kind of original content that we wanted to really hit up a lot of the, a lot of educational foundations, where it be middle schools, high schools, universities. So if they, they're doing a lesson about, Yaa Santiwa, for example, hey, let's see a short film. They can have an on-demand presence there. So it's almost like the Black Netflix in a way. So you have original content on demand, and I don't think TV1 or BET, or I don't think that they're at that point yet. And we want to be the kind of the innovators of that as well when it comes to Black content.
Why is it important for you all to have faith in America as one of the cornerstones?
Faith in America is important. I think it's important for us to really understand what that means and how diverse that faith in people's faiths are. I think it's one of the most original contents that they started out with, and I want to add more of that type of original content too. So every tab to me is a channel. We're going to have issues of sports. We're going to have issues of faith. We're going to have issues of education. We want to have the Black college experience. We want to have Black fraternity and sororities experiences. And my ultimate goal is to, put it more into the diaspora as well. Not just, African-American content, but content of descendants from Africa all around the world. So Faith in America, I think, is one of the founding original content shows that they put out there to really this really kind of grasp onto the differences and the diversity of faith throughout throughout our country.
When you look at the concept of the Black Heritage Network, how did you all come up with the programming that you all thought were important?
Yeah, that programming and everything that they put together was before my time. I'm coming in, you know, less than a year in the process now. My whole sole purpose right now is to really develop even more content. Looking at the content and thinking about one of their main missions is really, you know, thinking about, you know, Black life in America, you know, and having a, and their single mission is being, you know, being one of the first and only full-time television forums for true, you know, relevant stories of Black, you know, Black life in America. So the founders really thought it being important that, mm-hmm. you know, it's educational content that's really reaching out to a lot of the Black community that might not have experience a lot of things that the older generation has experienced. That's why, you know, kind of doing the, you know, retro theater, you know, and a lot of people that from the outside that don't really experience Black culture at all. That's why you have kind of the faith-based, you know, based content as well. But, you know, my whole goal now is to really infuse a lot more, you know, content and really bringing on more narrative content as well, along with, you know, docuseries and documentaries and original content and keeping the retro Black theater concept going. So we want to just infuse a lot more content there that's, you know, not just original, but also folks, and like I said, you know, like I said earlier, giving young folks and young filmmakers a chance to show their short film content as well, so we can kind of help expose and highlight a lot of great work and a lot of amazing, unique stories.
I know that's right. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with Hezekiah Lewis, president and CEO of the Black Heritage Network. Mr. Lewis, you said that the network is a subscription offering. And how do you go about subscribing?
Yeah, the subscription base, you know, you can go online, bhn.tv. It's $5.99 a month, like $75 a year, and it's easy. Click on, you know, put in your information. Everything's secure, I promise. And then you can make sure that, you know, you'll pay a monthly. You can go monthly, or you can go, and you can also just pay, you know, yearly as well. So I think it's a really good, you know, concept in a way that's a lot cheaper than what you would get for Netflix. And if you look on Netflix, you look on these other sites, you won't find a lot of, you know, original Black content that you can go to. So I think it's important, you know, for you to, you know, for people to understand this is, you know, I can care less if I make a dime, you know, off this venture. I just care that we get those stories out there. But, you know, to maintain a process and to maintain a site like this and to maintain beautiful stories coming out, we all have to kind of come together and help consume the positive, you know, notions that we're going to put on our network.
Is there a wealth of programming from the past that you all have access to?
Oh, yes. We have. When you go online, you'll see a lot of the programming, and it'll take you a while to catch up with everything that we have, and it's going to be so much more in the near future here. So you have a lot of programming that you can get involved with. So from not even the faith-based, there's a lot of content with, you know, dealing with, you know, short documentary content that's on there. I mean, there's so many, you know, avenues, and you know, we're actually adding more of even Villanovan, you know, original content that we, you know, some of the award-winning documentaries that came out of Villanova University and other shorts. So you have shorts, documentary, classical films, original series, archive films, you know, cool fun facts. You know, it's a lot of beautiful, diverse content that you can get your hands on.
Yeah, well, when I went online to look at the site, I saw a documentary on my hometown, Detroit, and then I also saw another documentary that dealt with Malcolm X.
Yeah, a lot of great content. And we wanted to add, like I said, my mind, I want to add more of the diaspora. I want things to go outside of the United States but have that universal touch and theme that we can all relate to.
When you look at this particular project, how intense and involved is it? You said you're coming on board at a later time, but having the wherewithal and the vision to put something like this together.
Yeah, it's a lot. it's a lot going. It's, you know, not only am I a professor, not only am I the CEO of this network, I have my own production company, my other projects going. I probably have 5 or 6, you know, things in the pot all at once. Really getting a lot of, you know, cool young talent on board now.
Okay.
You know, with this whole innovation. I mean, back in the days, we didn't have Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all these other social networks. But now I have to hire a lot of these young folks to kind of keep up with our social media base, or, you know, social networking base, marketing, you know, content management, you know, just really maintaining a really passionate group of folks that are like-minded folks that are passionate about what they do, you know, and passionate about telling unique stories and positive stories. You know, it's that alone really, you know, it fuels me. You know, I'm passionate about storytelling. I'm passionate about, you know, just our stories and unique stories and stories that really are out there about evoking positive social change. And now we have a platform for that. So that to me is like, it's not a job. It's a lifestyle. It's something that I live and breathe every day. So to me, I love it. You know, I don't see it as work. And, you know, I just want to get those type of people that want to come on and create this BHN, you know, Black Heritage Network family.
When you look at the big picture, are there competitors out there? Anybody nipping at you all's toenails?
It's not, yeah, and you always look at that in a business platform. You always see what the competition is. You always look and see, you know, how can you relate and how are you comparable, how are you different? And it's really not a lot out there yet.
Okay.
Is it a revolution of other type of network, you know, online networks? Of course. I mean, look at Netflix, look at Hulu, look at, you know, Amazon. I mean, mm-hmm. they're making original content now. So they have changed the game when it came to the way people consume content, the way people produce content. So yes, if the sky's the limit, Netflix is my competition, you know. But honestly, we're not on that level at this moment. But there's so much out there that we can do. We have a market out there that no one has really tapped into, and I think BHN is the perfect opportunity to see if, you know, if it's feasible. Is it a viable market? I think of course it is. Do we have many stories out there that we can help, you know, highlight? And I only see it as a network. I mean, I see it as developing film festivals and conferences and, you know, scholarship funds. And, you know, there's so many different avenues to this that I don't want to pigeonhole it to just being an online network. I think BHN can be bigger and, you know, and go beyond the borders of the United States of America. I want to reach the globe. It's a global community. It's a global society. And I think there's not a network out there yet that is doing the work that we're trying to do here at BHN.
The initial demographics of who you are trying to attract, is it broader now than it once was?
It's changed slightly. I mean, I know the founders, a lot of times they definitely wanted to reach that kind of affluent, you know, Black mm-hmm. household, you know, and it's hard because, you know, you think about the subscription base and you think about how do you reach others? How are you going to reach, you know, people in Nigeria and Ghana or, you know, Brazil, you know, so
right.
how are you going to reach those masses? So, you know, I know you can't do everything all at once. So I look at it in different phases. You know, that first phase is really, like I said, getting the subscription base up, making sure people know who we are, where we are, you know, understanding the marketing, you know, platform.
Hezekiah Lewis, Associate Professor of Communications at Villanova University and President and CEO of the Black Heritage Network. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.